Proud sponsor of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa wants you to keep your holiday cash with zero down on new Cadillacs. Come see General Manager Brian Danahy because right now is the best time to buy. Lease 2017 Escalades, just $759 a month, zero down, or get 0% financing 72 months. It's your last chance to take advantage of the year-end clearance savings at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Visit EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and see the dealer for all the details. As we've said many times, Ira, here on the podcast, this is the time to buy, and that also means at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, now you can save on a luxurious Cadillac and get more peace of mind with their like-new certified pre-owned Cadillacs. All certified pre-owned Cadillacs are inspected, reconditioned, and warrantied. Right now at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, get special financing and pay thousands less than new car prices. Visit EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com, see the dealer for all the details. And you've waited for the season's best lease offers. Here they are. You waited for 0%. It's right now, the last chance sale at Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon.
All right, Coach, you know, we give Ira a lot of crap here on the podcast. He says he knows you, he's your buddy, he loves you. You know, what can you say about Ira that you spent years around him as a journalist, as a guy?
Well, let me tell you this. He's got the greatest voice I ever heard. I can't imitate him well, but he's a friend of mine. And he's a guy I consider great at what he does because he does the work. And he watches practice. He takes pride in you know, getting the story correct. And he's just been loyal. I've always considered him a friend, and I consider him an expert when it comes to pro football.
I'm the demographic for X-Lax.
Happy Thursday on the Ira Kaufman podcast. You heard those offers, Ira. You heard them loud and clear. Last chance. Last chance. This is the end of 2018 from the great folks at Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. Those are the offers. You're wearing your gear today. I know you support everyone heading over there this weekend. And you know, with the late start to the Bucs game Sunday, flex start, plenty of time to pick up your Cadillac before the game.
Nobody's got more time than I do. I think I got to do the tailgate show live in the studio at 10:30. Now the game's been pushed back to 4:25. I got 6 hours to kill. I might walk out with two Escalades over there, Isvitz, if I drop your name at the counter. You never know.
How does one walk out with two Escalades? But you'll tell us on another podcast.
Well, my wife needs a little upgrade. You know, nothing wrong with that.
Ah, there you go. You man of generous spirit. All right, I'm Steve Isbitz. Of course, that's the voice of Mr. Sage. Ira Kaufman, Lee DeKemper's with us. We're JoeBucksFan.com. And Ira, your Sage podcast, of course, is kicking ass all over. iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, every other platform known to man. And
you've been saying last chance. You started off this podcast saying last chance. And Lee, it is our last chance to weigh in before the 2017 Bucs season's in the books.
That's very true.
And by the time of our next podcast, unless we do an extra one, changes which we might do on Monday, you never know.
An emergency podcast?
Emergency podcast. If there's an emergency around one Buc place, we're going to be on it. And who knows what Monday's going to bring, gentlemen.
Which means take care of yourself Sunday evening.
So this is a very important podcast right here, setting the stage for what might happen early next week.
Well, I got to bring up some old business before we get really rolling here.
Is this Ann Margaret again?
You channeled all the Korean War veterans in our audience, which might be three, and talking about Ann Margaret. Isbitz didn't even know her. And I was shocked at the reaction. People know her.
Of course people know.
Creeps that said
she was a famous sex kitten of the 60s.
Well, we
she
got
went
some,
into the 70s.
We got some of our commenters that think she still is. And she's 76, for goodness sake.
They said
it's creeps, man.
They said she was hot and a grumpy old man. She was 70 years old.
Oh, man.
Well kept. Creepy. Well kept, Isbitz. Well kept.
I'm resisting all kinds of angles.
Next thing you know, you're going to start talking about Angie Dickinson.
You know, Isbitz doesn't go beyond Gwen Stefani. That's about as far back as he goes. Isbitz, you got to get with the Julie Newmars of the world and the Claudia Cardinals and
Come
the
on,
Sophia
Rachel,
Lorenz.
Not Rachel Watson, but Raquel Welch. You're going to bring up sex
I think
spots.
She's the queen.
There you go.
Raquel Welch.
All right, Sage, speaking of the grand stage, Mike Smith was up on the podium today.
You're going from Raquel Welch to Mike Smith. From the Sublime?
I don't think Mike Smith has her qualities. Let's put it that way.
Well, you know what?
Her attributes.
Steve, I don't know if you were there for Mike Smith. I don't know. You might have been lurking in the back room.
I was lurking in the shadows here.
You got a habit. Lee, you were there 2 weeks ago when I asked Mike Smith to weigh in on Dirk Koetter and how he's handling himself. Just looking for a little support. He didn't bite 2 weeks ago. He didn't want to talk about it. And then, of course, we were there when Todd Monken weighed in without waiting for a question to be asked. He wanted to get some things off his chest.
Which was beautiful.
About Dirk Cutter. So I revisited it today. And plus, Cutter said, yes, it's been a distraction. How could it not be? He's only human. You know, that's no failure on Dirk Cutter's part to think that this talk's been a distraction. I think he's handled himself, as my column pointed out, very professionally. Mm-hmm. And so I asked Mike Smith again to talk about the guy that he's very close to. And finally, talked about how hard this team's playing. They're not winning, but how competitive they've been.
Uh-oh, you're going to get Nesbitt's rolling here with
no,
that.
No, you can roll all you want, but we were here in 2011, and we know that it's a different result on the field. They're trying. They're trying, but they don't
know
how to win.
They're professionals.
They don't know how to win. And Cutter's got to take his fair share of the blame for that, gentlemen. But Mike Smith did, finally, because he only wants to talk about the upcoming opponent. Mike Smith's very narrow-minded, and he's been a head coach. He knows to stay in his lane. You got to stay in your lane when you're a coordinator or an assistant coach. Hey, that's what he wanted Cutter to do.
Unless it's a pass rush lane and then nobody's there. So
oh,
go ahead.
You see the spirit of giving over here. Where's your Christmas spirit?
Christmas cookies.
But anyway, Mike Smith did say that nobody can accuse this team of laying down. Nobody can accuse these players of not playing hard. If the Glazers haven't made up their mind on Cutter, maybe that's a factor. We'll see.
When they say they're playing hard, well, you know what? Plumbers work hard, too. That doesn't mean they can play in the NFL. That's number one. Number two, what I thought was very telling, people are going to have to go to the video on Buccaneers.com and see this. When you asked Mike Smith the question about how Dirk Cutter's holding up with the wave of criticism, the wave of people wanting to get rid of him, his body language spoke volumes, much more than his words. He leaned back. He shuffled his feet.
He
leaned sideways, tilted his head like a puppy when you whistle at it, and then he dropped the great line, "It's just frickin' noise."
Yeah, you could tell he's not comfortable talking about that kind of stuff.
I think he wanted to say more.
Even though, you know, he couldn't be any tighter with Cutter. They have a very strong bond, obviously. But he's just not comfortable, Steve, weighing in on the bigger affairs that go beyond, and it's the overarching story of the season and what's going to happen to Cutter. He doesn't like to weigh in on that kind of stuff, and I revisited it today, and at least we got a few sound bites out of him. He did stiffen. No
well, I got the impression he was biting his tongue. He wanted to say a whole hell of a lot more, and he was trying to keep a professional demeanor.
Interesting. Anything else from Smith that you thought was noteworthy, Sage?
Well, you know, he spoke up for Gerald McCoy again, as he loves to do. And in the locker room, Gerald McCoy spoke up for Gerald McCoy. We'll get to that a little later. But look, the fact remains, Lee, if McCoy would have sat out last week's game, nobody would have said anything.
No,
I mean,
he
was hurt.
People were shocked that he was playing.
You got to tell it like it is, Steve. He could have packed it in. Nobody would have said one word in a lost season, of which he made the Pro Bowl again, whether he should have or not, another question. Goes out there, and he's very effective. Again, the most effective defensive lineman.
He had an excellent game. Look, watching the game again, Rondé Barber made the point on the broadcast, and I think that's more interesting in some ways. Not that you're not the sage, Ira.
I understand.
But when an NFL player says, hey, you know what? McCoy could have sat this one out.
And he knows the Bucs very well.
And he knows the team and understands that, hey, McCoy didn't have to play today. This was pure pride and desire, and he's playing damn good. It says a lot. To me, though, still, I still fall under the, hey, come on, they're paying you to play. If you can play, if the doctor says you're all right, get out there. You know, but we don't know the extent of McCoy's injury, so maybe it was a heroic kind of thing, which is what Rondé Barber implied. And if Mike Smith went there, maybe he felt that way, too.
You know that line that we're hearing a lot for the Jameis bashers where people that haven't given up on Winston say, he's the least of our problems. I think the same thing applies to McCoy.
Oh, yes.
He's the least of the Bucs' problems, Steve. When you're going to go analyzing their defensive deficiencies, are you going to start with Gerald McCoy's presence?
No, I mean, come on. This is a bad team. Quoting Bill Parcells again, you are what your record says you are. This team is in no position, especially on defense, to get rid of good players. None.
No, not at all. And, you know, and if you want to play the game that either one of those guys is a problem, I mean, McCoy certainly in that hypothetical, which is a little wacky, is much less of a problem than Jameis. McCoy plays a complete good game. Jameis still has a lot of growing to do and a lot of evolution to go through.
Lee made a good point, Steve. I'll give him one. You know, it took took until December, but,
it happens,
but he made one. The other day when he said, fan frustration's boiling over. Why shouldn't it? 10-year playoff drought. By the way, we didn't even mention this, but I went over the playoff drought teams. You're right about the Bucks. They now lead the NFC. Because the Rams broke through. And I think there was another team that broke.
Jaguars broke through. They were tied with the Bucs.
So I believe, and the Bills have a shot, maybe a 35% shot. They need help. They don't control their destiny. If the Bills make the playoffs, I think the Bucs are number one. I think that leaves the Bucs number one. Oh, Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
You can always, do you want to be mentioned in the same sentence as the Cleveland Browns?
I wrote a story a couple days.
That's as good as me saying they're number one when you say they're next to the Cleveland Browns.
A couple days ago, I wrote a story. Sunday night, I think. I wrote a story. Headline was Cleveland South.
Cleveland South.
Not only because the Rams won, the Bucs have the longest drought in NFC. And on top of that, you know, I always bring this up. Finally, people have calmed down about it because they've embraced reality. I used to get people so hacked off because I referred to that stadium as the Den of Depression. Even suits at this building would cuss me out in text. Quit doing it.
Facts are facts. Facts are facts.
Not only that, one guy, he ticked me off, and he's a good source. And I replied, "You don't want me to call it Den of Depression? Win freaking games at home." Well, there's only one team that has more losses at home since Chucky was fired. You're Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland.
One game.
One game. Getting back to Lee's point, which I think is a good one. We've described the level of frustration. It's very high, especially with the expectations, the hard knocks and everything, the off-season additions. So who are they going to take it out on? They're going to take it out on the head coach. They're going to take it out on the quarterback. And they're going to take it out on the face of the defense. And with all due respect, you know, to Vernon Hargraves and Will Golston, McCoy's the face of the defense. He's been here since 2010. Hasn't been in a playoff game since. Buck fans are trying to connect the dots. He's the reason he's a loser and this and that. So Lee's right. Steve.
Well,
those guys are going to take the brunt of it.
Real quick, by the way, when you say I'm right, to quote your friend Chris Russo, you may continue.
That's right. You may continue.
Dick Butkus never played in a playoff game. Dick Butkus. Anyone call him a loser?
That's outstanding.
Didn't he date Ann Margaret?
He probably did.
All right, enough of that. So, no, seriously.
I think Ann Margaret was in a movie with...
Oh, boy, here we go.
No.
Elvis.
Viva Las Vegas.
Joe Namath, I think.
Viva Las Vegas. Check it out over there.
Joe Namath was in a movie with her, though.
I think the fans, Ira, are a little more sophisticated than you're giving them credit for. I mean, there's a lot of problems with this Bucs team from starting with... They've declined in special teams this year significantly, some serious blunders, and even with a better kicking game, it's been worse, the coverage units and all that. You've got the defense has taken a big step back, although they were excellent on Sunday. And the more you watch that game, the more you realize how well they actually played. And the offense, look, Jameis is making, he shouldn't be the lead of the NFL in fumbles and limited starts. And you know, if you'll even go back and look at that first fumble, I had a story today. Barber was criticizing Jameis on that play. He held the ball 4 seconds, and then he drifts toward the rush, and then he steps into the rush. And
that's not good pocket presence.
Can't do that. It's bad pocket presence, bad internal clock, all kinds of things. And as Lee has written, he fixes one thing, and then something else goes bad. It's as if Jameis can't put all the pieces of the puzzle together at the same time. He puts 6 out of 7, and that 7th always
pops
up.
But he's got a lot of stuff you can work with.
He does.
To Steve's point, it's almost like he focuses too much on correcting one problem and doesn't concern himself with other problems.
And, of course, you know, that fumble in this game, the big fumble, which was the opening drive, there's Jameis maybe getting a little too hyped up and not being dialed in mentally right away. It's as this progresses, I think, Ira. I think the fans realize that, all right, Jameis has now started, 45 games? He's not a rookie. You can call him a young quarterback, which he is, but 45 games of NFL experience, that's a lot.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to get something here, and either it's...
So you're saying he's still making fundamental errors.
He is making fundamental errors.
Not that much, it's a fundamental error.
And somebody's got to get through to him. So is it the coach? Is it Jameis? Is it, you know, and this leads me to your column. You basically said in your column today, it's Gruden or Cutter or nothing. So maybe you can dive a little bit more into your thought process. And I think some people might think, well, Jameis needs a new voice maybe to get through to him. So maybe that is Gruden. I don't know.
All right. Here's some of my thinking. Gruden stands alone. Gruden is distinct from all other potential candidates, from the Josh McDaniels, the Matt Patricias, any other young up-and-coming coordinators. Gruden stands apart. Why does he stand apart?
He's got a ring.
Got a ring for these fans. They're dying over here. He won 3 division titles here. He was successful in Oakland. Don't forget that. He went 18-14 in his last 2 years here got fired.
I do know, oddly enough, it just shows you how desperate people are. And it sounds like they're going to hire Gruden. From what information I've heard, and I have no idea if it's accurate or not, the Glazers are beyond desperate. They're throwing their hands up in the air.
There's a bit of desperation tinged to that move.
I know people, I remember them saying this. When they wanted the Bucks to move on from Gruden. And all of a sudden, they're leading the charge to bring him back. Like, well, you apparently have forgotten why you wanted to get rid of him in the first place. Well, his offense wasn't that good. Their team had gone stagnant. They couldn't draft worth a hoop.
They basically haven't done a thing since he left. Basically haven't done a thing.
Well, go back to your mindset toward the
Gruden
standalone.
I'm saying that's why Gruden stands alone, and that's why I made a distinction for Gruden. Now, look, my thoughts haven't changed. I believe you will see Chucky back on the NFL sidelines next fall.
I think you said NFL.
I said NFL. I think that's almost a given at this point. I do. For a variety of reasons, which we've discussed on this podcast. And again, crickets from ESPN. No joint statement. No nothing. They don't even want to ask him. They're afraid of the answer. He's coming back. Now, if he comes back and it's not to the Bucks, fans are going to kill the Glazers. They're going to kill him. Whether that's fair or not, that's what's going to happen. You had your chance to get Gruden back, and you didn't take it. He went to Oakland. What's he doing back in Oakland? He belongs in Tampa. He didn't win a Super Bowl
Vegas.
In Oakland. Vegas, whatever. So, all right, that's point number one. Gruden stands alone. But the bigger point, if you don't get Gruden, and I mean locked up, signed, whatever, blood oath, don't fire Cutter for a guy that's unproven. I've had it up to my ears with these Belichick disciples. They don't work out for the most part. You want somebody, go get Belichick. Can't get him.
No.
Can't get him. But you got to get the man. You don't get the men behind the man. You get the man. And short of that, you know, you keep Cutter and you give him year three. And you're not telling everybody in the world that you can't have one bad year as a Tampa Bay coach or we're going to dump you. I think that's a terrible message.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Cutter.
All right.
I'm sitting on a story. I'm going to write it. I'm not going to say what
Don't
it's about.
Don't sit on it. Write it, my man.
It would be foolish to write about it if Dirk stays.
Okay.
So if you're going to get an old coach, there's an old coach out there, proven to work with quarterbacks, both veteran and young. Chucky has only proven to work with uno quarterback. Actually, two. Brad Johnson as well as Gannon. They're both veterans.
You're not talking Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians. Although, okay. And I wrote this morning, you know, there's – strong speculation.
That's an interesting name, Bruce Arians.
Well, I wouldn't want him as a head coach.
He's a two-time coach of the year, at least.
Yes, but here's the thing. I'm confident you didn't see a couple of recent documentaries on the NFL Network about the Cardinals and about Arians. They're two different documentaries. Arians is having health problems because all the pressure of being a head coach,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
I would suggest bringing him in as a quarterback coach. He's already got a relationship with Jameis. Everywhere he's gone, he's been golden with quarterbacks. He's got an offensive mind similar to Cutter as far as downfield.
And if Light should stay, he's very tight with Light.
Light loves the actually, you, a couple of weeks ago, you went through the whole scenario of the QB coach and Arians.
The trick with him, would Cutter be comfortable with him? Because, you know, Glazers have the itchy trigger finger. Would Cutter be looking over his shoulder the entire time? Would he be suspicious?
I think there's a good chance Arian retires.
Well, in the documentary, his wife was really upset that he took the offensive coordinator job for the second time in Indianapolis. She was set to retire. They have a lakefront home in Georgia, and they were all ready to go.
I'd be surprised if he came back to Arizona. That's not a good situation.
Maybe he still has that itch to coach. He obviously knows Jameis would be a smooth transition. A lot less pressure, which means a lot less health issues. And maybe his wife is more comfortable living in Florida in semi-retirement than Georgia in full retirement.
Arians being available doesn't change my mind. I think it's Gruden or bust, and bust meaning status quo. Give Cutter another year to fix his own mess to a degree. He's got to be responsible. He's a big boy. And I made the point in the article, and I think this is important. The guy doesn't make excuses, Cutter. Say what you want about him. He's wound tight at the podium. He's wound tight when they're winning. So he's going through a tough time right now. He doesn't talk about injuries. He doesn't want to talk about them. Yeah. How many coaches are like that?
Chucky.
He doesn't talk about officiating. He doesn't call out his players. I mean, there's a lot to like here. And he's had a bad year. Cutter's had a bad year. The Bucks have had a bad
Didn't
year.
Didn't Ron Rivera have a rotten year and the Panthers
but
stuck
there,
with
there,
him?
There was a time when this organization stuck with a guy having a bad year. There was a time.
Gruden. Yeah, Ron Rivera was extremely close to getting canned. Look, so was Jay Gruden. And then Lovey rolled over and they won. He might have been fired if the Bucks won that game in a couple years ago in Washington.
I think we could say this. Steve Dumick had a very – and everybody says – I mentioned Steve Dumick and people freak out. But
Steve and I know who Dumick talks to, okay? And the people that don't have open minds won't give Dumick the time of day. Oh, Steve Dumick. He had it on very good authority from that Gruden was on the ledge and Danny Snyder was very close to pulling the rug out from under his feet. And to use Steve's words, Lovey rolled over and saved Gruden's job, and he's still there.
Ira, I think a lot of the fans, though, they hear you say Gruden or bust. So does that mean the Glazers have to go all out to get Gruden because he's a better fit and he's available? You brought up the interesting point that I hadn't thought about. From the fan perspective, if Gruden ends up coaching the Raiders, you're going to have, I'd say, probably half the fan base lose their minds.
I think you're right.
Now, is that necessarily so bad for the fan base to lose their minds? They lose their minds no matter what. Can the Glazers really care that deeply?
At that point, the object of the ire of Buck fans will be on ownership. It'll be on ownership. It won't be on Jason Light. It'll be on ownership.
Yeah.
You couldn't close the deal with Gruden. He wanted to come back, and you didn't get him back. You just put him in your ring of honor. That's a tough one. It's a PR nightmare.
No, it's not a PR nightmare because suppose the Glazers at that point leak out through their channels or they call you and say, hey, Ira, John wanted full control of personnel. We weren't going to do that. And then that gets out there. The fans would understand that, wouldn't they? If Gruden said, I want full personnel control or nothing
more
else.
Like, it's more likely that Jason Light would stay with Gruden.
I'll just say this. It's going to hack off a lot of people. And before I say it, I worship the ground Chucky walks on for winning the Super Bowl here. He should never have to buy a beer in his town. Should never have to buy a meal in his town. And then the freaks out there that claim he won with Dungy's players, they need to go see psychiatric help or find a frickin' hobby. Having said that, if the Glazers give Chucky control after he demonstrated he has no clue what he's doing with the draft, everything that happens, the Glazers deserve it. I'll say it right now.
You know what? A bad point from DeKemper. It's not a bad point. Now, if Light stays and Gruden's brought in, would you argue that Light's going to be Gruden's puppet? I don't know.
Yes.
Whoa, you didn't even hesitate there.
Yeah, it'll be the new
thing. If he wants full control, it's...
Now, wait a minute. Light's a guy that's told all three of us, I don't want anybody telling me who to draft.
When your career's on the line, your mind changes.
The new preface on Joe Buck's fan would be AC/DC loving Chucky puppet GM.
Oh,
that's how
wow,
it would
be. I won't go that far.
Because that's the reality. That would be the reality if that scenario played out. You know it and I know it.
I won't say puppet, but I'll say lip syncing. But here's the thing real quick about Chucky. You covered the Bucks when Chucky was in his glory days. You covered him. Chucky did not work well with young players. This team's foundation is young players. Is he going to tear up the roster and go with a bunch of old farts he can get? You know, like a over the hill gang, 2018.
Look, it's not unanimous out there that Buck fans want John Gruden. Unanimous,
close.
I think certainly he's got the majority of fans behind him. But other people remember that when he got canned, a significant amount of people thought he deserved to be canned.
Yeah, I think it's above 50%, and the casual fan, the purely casual Bucks fan, is probably closer to 100% because, yeah, they know John Gruden. They know
name
the
name. Recognition.
Hey, won the Super Bowl. It's interesting, though. The whole thought process, you look at Gruden, he did walk into a team. Dungy's players, or his players, however you want to look at it, he still walked into a team with arguably five Hall of Famers in their prime.
That's a great point.
What other coach ever does that? I don't even know if that's been
Lombardi,
done.
Lombardi, maybe.
I don't know how often that's been done in modern history. So can he build a team from the rock bottom here if we believe we're that at rock bottom? If we don't believe we're at rock bottom, then maybe that's why the Glazers, they see the team playing so hard, as you said before, for Dirk Cutter. Maybe they makes them think, hey, we're just that close. We just need a little new juice and we can bring this thing right
back. Apparently there's passion still.
It's interesting. This finish here might hurt Cutter in some ways if it makes the Glazers think the team's better than it really is. I don't know. It's a mystery.
It depends how you want to look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But Steve made one hell of a point. Chucky walked into a situation with potentially five Hall of Famers.
All on one side of the ball, but still.
All right, Sage, you were in the locker room today, so what do you got?
Well, as usual, McCoy holding court. He mentioned again that he's aware of the McCoy bashers. He's aware of it. he reads it all. Either he reads it or his people do, mm-hmm. and it gets back to him.
Password wrong.
And, he doesn't appreciate it. Why should he? He doesn't appreciate all the crazy criticism. He also talked about how one win, now this sounds a little simplistic, but he said one win on Sunday against the playoff-bound Saints, would create a whole different feeling around this building. I don't know. Steve, you're still finishing 5-11 when people thought you were going to be 10-6, including me. Including me. Thought they were going to be 10-6. So
it goes to confidence because they, in the players' minds, I'm just talking in the players' minds, hey, we should have beaten Carolina. Goodness gracious, we should have beaten them. We beat them on the field except for a screw-up at the end. And they believe that they are as good as the Falcons in their minds. You know, they're right there with them. And if they actually beat New Orleans and pull off this stunning upset against a great team that needs it, their mindset is, yeah, we feel good.
Well, not to mention they had the Patriots on the ropes and likely would have beat them with a field goal kicker.
Yet the fact remains they're winless in the division.
Yeah, yeah, it's still no excuse. I mean, if Cutter doesn't know how to win, if he can't get the guys to win, then what do we do?
And a season with two different five-game losing streaks, am I correct?
We're talking about Cutter. This year he doesn't know how to win. Did he forget how to win last year? I mean, people act like that never happened. And people bring up Lovey. I mean, not Lovey, but Raheem. Well, Raheem won 10 games. He was canned for far different reasons than what Cutter's in trouble for. I mean, the locker room was a mess. Greg Schiano, to this day, publicly talks about how the Glazers told him, you got to clean up the locker room.
And they weren't competitive.
They quit on him. I mean, on down the line. I mean, he lost control of that locker room. Raheem did. Cutter hasn't lost control of the locker room, unless you call the scuffle Sunday lost control. I consider that guys wanting to crack heads that should have cracked heads 2 months ago.
Guys, let me throw this out. We're 3 weeks removed from that report from, of course, NFL Network, which is driving the narrative.
Well, right? That irks you, doesn't it? That it's Rappaport.
But that first report that there is a fracture in the relationship between Winston and Cutter, does the fact that Winston's playing some very good football, does that give a lie to that report in any way or not necessarily?
I think Winston playing well does nothing but help Cutter. We've said it countless times. Cutter's only reason Cutter is here is because of Jameis. Well, fumbles aside, which is not an insignificant issue.
So if he finishes strong, that shows ownership.
That tells me Cutter knows what he's doing with Jameis, to a degree.
I don't believe that report. I don't believe that report's true, that there's a fracture.
Well, I believe it to a point. Name a quarterback that has danced with his head coach. You know, I had a kumbaya relationship, but everything was hunky-dory.
We have applauded Dirk Cutter on this podcast many times for being very blunt with Jameis Winston and not sugarcoating things. Not going to rip Cutter for being tough on
Jameis. Yeah, we've been down this road. I mean, okay, if true, not true, to what degree was it really true? Was it true for 20 minutes or for one day and they had a bad day?
Exactly.
You know, who knows? You know, you just don't know.
Is Winston upset that he played a few games that in his mind he shouldn't have played in? Knowing Winston, the competitor, Winston wants
sure.
to play.
Certain well-connected people cite that.
I still think that report generated from the Winston camp.
We're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday morning, I recorded the podcast, Jeff Cameron, Scuttlebuck's fabulous podcast. And we were talking about this very subject.
Wait a minute. You never used the word fabulous for my podcast over there.
It's beyond fabulous. It's must listen.
There you go.
There's a difference.
There you go.
At any rate, we talked about this very subject, and I noted, I said, you can make an argument. Cutter panicked with Jameis. Cutter famously said when he was an offensive coordinator, the only thing people give a spit about are wins. He didn't say spit, of course. The Bucs were losing, and Jameis being Jameis, you know, competitor, I can play. Doctors cleared him, and I can play. Well, Cutter probably panicked. Like, I got to get some wins. No one in the Glazers have an itchy trigger finger. I got to get some wins. That could be the genesis of the angst.
He threw the ball very well in Buffalo. Very well.
That was the only one he threw well.
Yeah, I the Gruden bust thing, Ira, it sticks in my craw a little bit. Because
of course.
Because here's the thing, right? If you keep Cutter...
Your craw is an interesting place.
Well, I'm trying to be logical. I'm trying to be logical, Ira. If you keep Cutter, right, that means the Glazers...
Trying to be logical.
The Glazers sit around and would decide, yeah, we believe Dirk can do this, that he can pull out of this and win a Super Bowl. That's why you would keep Cutter, right? Because you believe he can dig out of his mess, as you called it. Well, if you believe that, then why would you change coaches?
Because Gruden stands alone. Gruden's different than
Gruden stands alone. So Gruden, you would have to believe that Gruden can do a better job pulling out of the mess and restructuring a team. It's a big leap.
Well, that tells me.
It's a leap, but he's got a Super Bowl ring on his finger.
Oh, I'm not saying he's a bad football coach.
To buttress Steve's comments.
Ooh, nice.
Well, you used that word before, and I like it. That tells me, you know, to further Steve's point, that tells me the Glazers are smitten. They're smitten with star power. They're smitten with name power, name recognition. Chucky has that.
Well, they went after Chip Kelly. He was a star at that time. No,
yes.
No question.
Thank
they
God.
They went after Parcells. Star.
Proven.
Didn't work out.
Well, look, Kelly was a star in college, and he came referred by Tony Dungy. And I think Kelly clearly didn't fit the NFL.
Guys,
Dungy was also screaming for Mariota, too. Can we just stop with the Dungy is God?
Gentlemen, are we really going to debate that Gruden is a unique persona?
There's no question. So is
he's unique.
So is Bobcat Goldthwait. Would you hire him as a coach?
Nick Saban is unique. You're not getting Nick Saban.
Did that go over people's heads, Bob Goldthwait?
Yeah, that went.
I don't know.
I think he danced with Ann Margaret once.
Bobcat Goldthwait. You never heard of
John?
That?
John? John Gruden stands alone. Stands alone in this town. In this town.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely, Ira. Absolutely. It would be fascinating, and they have a tough situation and decisions ahead of them. And then there's the whole where Jason.
What the hell? I'm going to say it. I already brought Bruce Arians. There's a guy that last coached in 2008, same as Gruden, and that's an issue with me. That's an issue with
Bruce
me.
Bruce Arians last coached in 2008?
No. There's a guy out there that does not have a job like Gruden. He's last coached in 2008, just like Gruden. And again, that's an issue for me. The guy hasn't coached in a decade. Unlike Gruden, this guy has proven ability to work with young quarterbacks and veteran quarterbacks. And he's got multiple rings, not one. His name is Mike Holmgren. So why screw around with Chucky when you might be able to get Holmgren?
Mike Holmgren could end up in the Hall of Fame one day. He's got some strong credentials.
He does.
I like Mike Holmgren.
Yeah.
The problem with Holmgren is he wanted total control, and when he got it, it didn't work very well in Seattle.
What do you mean didn't work well?
Guess who they ended up usurping his power with? Tim Ruskell off Rich McKay's staff. And by the way, Lee, in 2005, that was the season, I believe, I thought Seattle had the best team in football. They went to the Super Bowl. They lost to Pittsburgh on some gadget plays. I think Roethlisberger was a young quarterback
yes,
then.
Yes, second year.
Seattle had the best team in football. And it was the year that they took away some of Holmgren's power.
You just talked in circles there. You said it didn't go well in Seattle because he wanted power. They got to a Super Bowl, Ira.
They took his power away.
They got to the Super Bowl.
They got to the Super Bowl the year they took his power away. And Ruskell was calling the shots. I believe it was that very year.
Well, they were also in the playoffs prior to that, too.
Yeah. Holmgren was successful. There's no question about it. Successful.
Yeah, look, you already said he's a Hall of Fame credentials.
Man, if you went to the... Bucks fans...
What makes you think Holmgren wants to get back
well,
on
I don't,
the horse?
You pick a name. What makes fill in the blank think he's going to come to Tampa Bay? But if the sum of money I was told that Gruden's looking for, you don't think that would open up Holmgren's eyes?
Of course, they're represented by the Sabe agent. This guy's name is in every podcast, Bob Lamont. He's Light's agent. He's Gruden's agent. Holmgren was his first major client.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got 10 NFL coaches, Steve.
All right, real quick, Ira, look. You know, John Gruden's going to have options in coaching. You're convinced he wants to
come
back to
coach? Some people think there's going to be 10 or 12 openings, Steve.
I have 14 even as much.
Yeah, it's the same dance every year. Oh, maybe there's 11, maybe there's 10.
What's it going to come down to? Quarterback?
Well, if you're the Glazers, here's the question. Really the core question when you're negotiating with John Gruden. If the Glazers believe that Gruden wants to be in Tampa more than anywhere else, that's where he wants to be.
You should have some leverage.
Then you have the leverage. John, go find out your other options and come back because we're interested and we want you. Go see what you got out there. Well, then he's got to go play the field and see what he's got. And do you think they let him do that?
Well,
that's really my question to you.
That begs an assumption that I'm not willing to bet.
Uh-oh.
That begs an assumption that a deal's not already in place. And I think there's a good chance that a deal's already in place.
Oh, you do?
I do.
So the information Steve had was bogus?
Well, and any information that Isbitz brings is tainted by its very nature. And Steve, you never said that a deal's not in place. I never said that.
No, I know. I agree with you. Anything could be in the place. Now, what do you make of this, Ira? And this is something that I might have already written something on by the time the podcast posts. As of now, when we record this, we haven't heard one word from Jason Light backing his head coach. Not one public word.
The coach that he theoretically picked.
The head coach that he handpicked. The coach that he had plenty of great things to say about. He knows coach is under fire. Coach has said it's a distraction. Where is Jason Light? What, do you have a problem with that, or what do you think of that?
Well, you're getting crickets from the Glazers, and you're getting crickets from Jason Light. Jason Light is underground. You know, apparently been extended for 2018. We haven't verified that, apparently. But he's looking certainly for an extension beyond that, Lee. Fair point, Steve. He's the guy that got expanded powers. The Glazers told us. Jason Light's got expanded powers. He's going to head up the search. Well, the search landed in Dirk Cutter's lap. Now his man's under siege. Under siege. And it's been going on for a month. We don't hear one word from Jason Light. Now, he's got to take his cue from ownership about Cutter's future, you would think, because I think the Glazers are going to pick the next coach.
Well, I was going to ask that, Ira. Don't you think, and you've said this before, that, and you've said it on Russo's show before, that would be Chris Russo, Mad Dog Radio, SiriusXM.
You make it.
Because he was going to interrupt me otherwise if I didn't mention that. Like, no one knows who Chris Russo is. Anyway, you've mentioned many times when it comes to coaches, that's a Glazer call. So if Light did come out, and Steve's got a great point. That's a great question. Where's Light coming out giving Cutter a
vote of confidence? Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he would be speaking out of turn.
Well, he's not going to do it without clearing it with the Glazers, Steve. You're not naive to think that he would do that. But the fact is, he's not saying anything. That doesn't speak well for Cutter. It just doesn't. You know?
I don't think it's that naive, Ira, to say. I mean, he doesn't have to say Dirk's coming back.
Hugh Jackson's coming back. I think he's 1-31. He doesn't. 1-31. Ira, he's coming back.
Ira, Jason Light doesn't have to say Dirk Cutter's our coach next season. He can still come out and sort of calm things down a little bit by saying anything else other than, you know, something positive about how hard Dirk's working and
how the team's competing.
Like how the team's making a comeback with their competing and Jameis. And, you know, there's a lot of things he could say that doesn't have to be cleared by
some dramatic. But you're saying we got silence.
We got silence with a coach, as you said, under siege. These guys are supposed to be tight as a drum, aren't they?
Supposedly he was Light's choice. He could have went outside the building, perhaps. I don't think that's true because I think the fact that...
Well, he did interview what's-his-face. It was the Baltimore, or Buffalo now.
Yeah, McDermott. Yeah.
But the fact is we're getting silence from Light. We're getting silence from the Glazers. And if I'm Dirk Cutter, silence is not golden, gentlemen. It's black.
All right, Ira, before we get to the predictions, of course, everyone remember edmorescadillactampa.com, edmorescadillacbrandon.com. You can go shopping right now online, even get some online help and head over there for all these fantastic year-end offers you heard about.
I believe I'm in first place in the prediction business over there, Steve. I think I'm 10-5.
Well, Javier's got a spreadsheet.
You've got it nailed down, Ira. And one thing I just wanted to throw in that I wrote about and is tied into some of the relationship stuff you talked about. Cutter mentioned on SiriusXM NFL Radio earlier today, Wednesday, that Jameis Wednesday morning was here at 5:30 in the morning. And Cutter came in a little later than 5:30, he said, on the players' day off Tuesday to get started on the week. Whose truck is in there when he pulls in? Jameis Winston on the players' day off. So, you know, and there's not a lot of people here. So Jameis is obviously interacting with the coach when he gets in. And
I think that's music to Buck fans' ears because it shows
says a lot for Jameis.
Winston's work ethic, because we talked about him being the first guy in the building. And for that still to be the case, Lee, that says something about his commitment to this team.
Oh, sure. The way he freaked out after the game, we don't know if this is true. There's speculation. He went after Swaggy Baker in the locker room.
He's still mad that he thought he got the football away from Peppers.
Yeah, and I understand being mad, but you got to have a modicum of self-control.
Right, right.
You can't go ape crap. But, his reaction to that, his alleged speculation that he went after Swaggy Baker, you know, that should hearten Bucks fans. But my big thing is, okay, that's great. Looks good. Sounds good. You were hacked off. You wanted to bust heads for guys that didn't give a damn. Where was this 2 months ago? Where was this two months ago?
Now, Steve, you heard Cutter speak on Sirius and talk about Jameis Winston at length. Did you detect one iota of lack of confidence from Cutter's point of view in his face of the franchise?
No, he defended him incredibly. And he also said about that locker room incident, he said, look, this stuff happens all the time. A.J. Hawk, who was one of the co-hosts, the former Packers, was the same thing. He's like, Coach, was it after the cooling off period and media was in there or media wasn't in yet? And Cutter explained that, hey, whatever happened, it was just our in-house guy doing a pre-recorded interview. So the real media wasn't in there yet. And Hawk was like, oh, well, then if Jameis or anybody blows up.
That happens every week.
If anybody blows up when the media's not in there, that's what the locker room's about. He was like, oh, sorry, I even thought otherwise.
Oh, wow. Isn't that kind of what Mike Smith said too? He sort of inferred that it happens a lot.
Now, the reason it's big news in Tampa is because one of our complaints has been, Oh, Winston seems to be the only guy, to, you know, maybe him and Alexander, the only guys that really show a lot of passion
and
out
allegedly
there.
That those were the two guys. Allegedly.
Know, but just before the predictions, Ira, what's interesting, if you go back and watch the film, right? So Baker jumps off sides. Horrible play.
After McCoy says, watch it.
And McCoy barks at him right on the field. Levante David throws his hands in the air, can't believe it, and he's not very demonstrative on
no,
the field.
No, he's not. That's a good point.
And somebody else yelled at Baker. The next play, when they ran up the gut, and it was a very the measurement, they got the first down by about an inch, and maybe it was a bad spot. The guy who made the tackle and the really good play on that for the Bucks was Baker.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is,
that.
You know, it was interesting. It was as if he was like, hey, I messed up, and I care, so I'm going to make this damn play.
He made the stop there.
I've said this on Twitter, going back and forth with fans. If I was Jason Light, I'd pull Anthony Collins. What I mean by that is, we all remember Anthony Collins was a complete bust with the Bucks, and he was a miserable locker room presence. I've heard some things about him from other GMs in the NFL. You can't say it on the air because I'd probably get sued, but it's unsavory. But at any rate, he was basically told the last month of the season, go home, don't come back, we're not bringing you back, just go home. It's pretty damn obvious Swaggy's not coming back. I mean, he's already on damage control on Twitter because he knows no one else is going to pay him $4 million next year.
And you can throw number 22 into that box, well, too. He ain't coming back either.
Well, if you were Jason Light after what happened in the locker room, just stay home, Swaggy. We're not going to bring you back. You just stay home and go do another TV spot grilling about wings.
Well, McCoy had a chance to defend Baker in the locker room today, and you know what he said? Whatever.
Wow.
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what he said on Sunday. I think it's too late for Jason Light. He should have, as I wrote, Baker and Doug Martin should have been the number one guys on the trading block at the deadline.
Oh, yeah.
Get rid of him for anything or cut him. You know, it's too late. I mean, if they knew this, we knew this in training camp.
I guess my scouting.
Training camp, we knew this in February. March.
I told you that day at the meetings.
Yeah, but we still had to see him.
Yeah.
Guys change.
But with Doug Martin, we knew that before the season.
Right. But he didn't show up for OTAs, Swaggy. And then he did, and he was putting his socks on. And
the tree stunt.
I still remember him.
Every day we'd go out to training camp, and Isbit's got the binoculars on number 9.
20 years from now. 20 years from now, you're still alive. Hell, if I'm still alive. 20 years from now, whatever Bucks fans are alive.
At Ira's 100th birthday party.
Yeah. 20 years from now, whoever's listening, if you're still alive, the only thing you're going to remember about Swaggy Baker is him trying to fornicate with a palm tree.
With that tree and Hard Knocks?
Yes.
Ira's got to get to his TV appearance. Sage, I will kick us off here to speed it along. Buccaneers play
Speaking
the Saints.
Speaking of a guy peeing on a tree, here comes Isbitz right here. All right, what do you got, Steve?
Hey, Buccaneers Saints. Sunday, we make our predictions. I can't predict the Bucks to win the game. They don't know how to win, and I admire their fight.
They got moxie.
And I think they're going to have more fight here. I think Cutter is going to play fast and loose. I'd love to see the guy take some risks. Jiminy Christmas, you're 4-11.
I can't believe fans are on my case for suggesting that they don't throw long enough this season. Some people are saying they threw long enough too much. I think that's crazy. I said in September,
I'm in that
I'm
boat.
Throwing five
right,
long
you're
balls.
Off track. You're mad at the fans. I haven't even made my prediction.
All right, make your pick because I'm going third.
Saints 28, Bucks 21.
Very competitive.
Lost season. Defense will play well as they usually do at home. Ain't going to matter. 24 Saints, 23 Bucks.
Sage?
All right. Well, I got to protect my first place standing. That's the first.
You won. You're done. You won.
Like Steve,
go bold, baby.
I can't pick the home team, Lee. I can't do it. The Saints still are motivated now. If Carolina's getting their butts kicked, maybe you know at halftime, you know, and this looks like the Saints are going to wrap up that division. Maybe they don't have too much to play for. Carolina's going down in Atlanta. They're getting their ass kicked. Maybe that could affect the Saints. Maybe that could affect Sean Payton. It's not going to be enough. Defense played great last week. New Orleans got a lot better offense than Carolina does. Better quarterback, more weapons, a lot better running game. I'll go with the visitors 30-20. 30-20.
And Saints. Last bonus prediction is on Monday night. By Monday night at the stroke of midnight before Tuesday, 11:59 p.m. Monday, is Dirk Cutter head coach of the Buccaneers, Ira.
That's something you throw in at the end of a podcast.
Absolutely.
That's the $1 million bonus.
You could pass.
To me, that's a no-brainer question.
You could pass if you want.
That's a no-brainer question to me.
So you're saying when the clock strikes
Monday night, when Black Monday is over.
Like 9 other teams, the Bucks will have a coaching vacancy.
Lee?
Cutter will know his fate. What that is, I can't say. I don't even want to guess. But he will know his fate at midnight Monday evening. Midnight Sunday night, he will not. Midnight Monday evening, he'll know. Whatever that may be.
I think he's still the coach. at that time, but that doesn't guarantee him a job. But I think he'll still be coach. I don't think the Glazers will have made a call yet or figured something out with Gruden, because I don't think there's anything done in advance. All right, Sage.
And we noticed, and we know in the past that just because a coach gets past the first day after the season doesn't mean the Buck coach is safe.
Chucky was 3 weeks in. Lovey, right?
Lovey, you know.
Yeah, I think he'll survive 24 hours, whatever, but nah, I wouldn't bet beyond
that. Now, Raheem did not. Raheem, very next day, because I remember Steve and I and Byard Steeler, Byard, former editor of the Tribune, we were tailgating at the Outback Bowl when it came down.
Well, Gruden himself was weeks after.
All right, Sage, final thought?
Final thought.
Buck and Margaret. You're done, you paused, you're out.